Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You're listening to Zed Games, coming at you from 4ZZZ Studios. You might be listening to us on 102.1 FM or around the country on the Community Radio Network. My name's Jack Ranjan, and I've taken over the show. It was going to happen sooner or later. With me is Ray.
Hello.
And B.
Hi.
How do you feel about the junior reporter taking over the show?
It's weird.
Yeah.
We also have guests in the studio. Ray, who are these beautiful people?
We've got Alex and Nathan from Fluffy Knuckle Duster, a Brisbane-based mobile developer. Hey, guys.
Wonderful to be here once again.
Nathan, this is your second time on the show.
This is my second.
Alex, it's your third.
That's right.
We had you on originally for Sword of Acronox.
He still remembers how to pronounce it. I'm so proud. Yes. They grow up so fast.
But looking forward to hearing about your latest games, including Drunken Heroes, the controversial Drunken Heroes, I should say.
Yeah.
And as well as that, I'll be talking about Golf Story for the Nintendo Switch later on.
I saw it on the eShop, and I'm like, there's a lot of other things on the eShop that I need to buy. It's a lot of stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll convince you to buy it.
Are we going to have another Nintendo Switch argument?
Oh,
I would rather not.
I'm 100% okay with this. Okay.
Nathan will really be able to weigh in on that.
I'm going at like 5 games at the moment.
At once.
I mean, same, but I'm the skeptic.
Mm. Yeah.
So
we had an argument, two sessions ago?
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes, but before all that, the weekend gaming news headlines, please be.
In a surprising move, Electronic Arts, the publisher of Star Wars Battlefront 2, has removed in-game purchases from the game after facing backlash for their monetization system. It was estimated that it would take around 40 hours of gameplay to unlock heroes like Darth Vader without paying real money. Additionally, progression-based items were only unlocked through the random loot box system. EA said in a statement that the removal of in-game purchases was a temporary measure while they reworked the system.
It's temporary. It's temporary.
40 hours to get a loot box that may or may not contain of the major characters.
No. Okay, so that's wrong. 40 hours to get the credits, to rack up credits that you get in every single match to straight up buy Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, that kind of thing. And so that has been... There's two things that have happened, right? Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong. One is that, payment of... for anything in game, specifically loot boxes, is gone. And also, they've completely rebalanced how many credits it takes to get those heroes. So as opposed to 40 hours, I think one of you mentioned it was 8 hours now?
That's I consider to be pretty realistic.
Reasonable, yeah. But it's a temporary thing.
But this was the original thing when they launched. They were hey, this is a thing. And everybody was like, what? And it's the most downloaded Reddit
The most
thing?
Downvoted posts on Reddit. Yeah, it was 200K, I feel like, when I last saw it. I feel higher at this point. But
yeah, the main problem I feel is the fact that progression-based items are tied in with this random loot box system.
Yes.
So, in most games, as you progress through the system, you get better and better. Hmm. And then the game rewards you incrementally with items. Usually that increases your abilities, as you go through the game. However, with this game, Star Wars Battlefront 2, you've got a random system so that the items that you need to get good or get better or have an advantage over other players are randomly assigned into the... And so you don't know when you're going to get a better gun.
Yeah.
The people who pay money for the loot boxes will naturally have more items, more chances at the bigger items.
They'll have more chances at items, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll have the better items. And I think that's also frustrating for them, people who are spending $100 and then they only get three or four items.
Because
that sounds like
Jar Jar unlocked.
Yeah. Nobody wants that. But that's the thing is even though yes, you have the whales, spending $100, it doesn't mean they're getting rewarded for that. Where something like Overwatch, you do eventually get those skins and it feels a bit more rewarding even though it's just skins.
It's just skins. I feel like that was the big sticking point. It's kind of hard to sort of speak about this because, like you said, Overwatch is only cosmetic, whereas this is gameplay. And I feel like I'm probably in the minority here, but I'm all about I'm kind of about paying to have that advantage. The reason why it didn't work in this case was because of the randomization stuff, because it's a lose-lose situation. You lose if you're playing without paying money. You lose if you are paying money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
if you're paying for an advantage, and you mentioned this earlier as well, mm-hmm. you should, like, if you don't have time to put 8 hours in to unlock the hero's estimated time, right? You should be able to just drop 5, 10, 15 or whatever and run with that.
Some people work long, long weeks and they just want to go home and play the full game.
Yeah, exactly. Bought.
My biggest problem with that, though, is that in Australia, a full game will cost $90, $100.
Yeah, that's,
that's a lot of money to put down to then be told, no, you can't play as Darth Vader. I'm sorry. You have to either grind your butt off or pay.
Well, then we start getting into the conversation of, like, do you reward people by just buying the game by giving them everything up front? Where is it?
No. Just
you make everyone work for it.
Yeah.
Like it is in other games.
And
like
a lower release price or a free-to-play model have that. That
so
would be great.
If they made this a free-to-play game then, would this system...
I wouldn't complain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't complain.
I wouldn't
at all.
Complain either. Like Candy Crush, like, yeah, I'll go through the first like 20 levels and then once it's like, hey, buy a thing. But it's true. Like,
did
no,
you
any of those types
drop
of things.
Candy Crush next to two indie developers?
Because, you know, it's true. I'm
I
sorry.
Swear to Carmack.
But point being is, though, like, it's like, then if it's free to play, then it's like, sure, like I'll buy that thing and then I'll stop playing once it's not relevant to me. And that could be $15 in, $50 in, or $0 in. At least you sort of have that choice, where this is like you have to pay $100 and then you have to pay more money in order to then play even more. And that seems BS to me.
Because really, I mean, like Nathan said, some people work really long hours and want to be able to come home and play the game. However, is that really a defining factor of who should pay and who shouldn't? I mean, some people have to work long hours.
That's fair.
Once again, you're paying full retail price. Why isn't everything unlocked, or at least like in a low progression system, so then you can just freaking play?
But then, Ray, your reaction when people couldn't see it, but when I was like, would you be down to jump on the system if it was free to play? You weren't feeling it.
I don't want Star Wars Battlefront 2 to be free to play, because the elements that we don't like about the game now are going to be magnified in order for them to recuperate that development cost. It's going to be free to play, sure, okay. You know, you'll be able to play on Hoth with you know, Rebel Fighter A.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're saying you don't trust EA.
I don't.
I mean, nobody should trust EA.
I'm just saying, like, it's going to be, you were complaining about 40 hours to unlock Darth Vader under the current system. If, on a full free-to-play system, that's going to be like 400 hours.
Fair. The thing is, though, so they are going to be bringing back the pay, like the ability to pay for loot boxes or items or something in the game.
They just, I think
they've
they're
gone
just
on record.
Biding their time, because they got a lot of heat on them right now.
They did.
They got legislators on their case, for Christ's sake.
They do. I forgot about that.
But Belgium? You know, give it 6 months, they'll drop them in. You know, there's not that many eyes on the game.
Oh, it's Hawaii.
And Hawaii. Yeah. Well,
Belgium
is done. Like they're just
Hawaii
like, hey.
Next.
Loot boxes are an illegal thing, and Hawaii is
God.
I don't know, let's talk about it.
But the fact that like U.S. Congress is like, maybe we should have a conversation
U.S.
government in some capacity
we're
is
talking
like,
about because it's Hawaii, and Hawaii is separate. Well, it's not separate, but anyway, continue.
In some capacity.
Sorry.
Yeah. So like the conversation is starting, so EA is like, whoa, we kind of overstepped the mark. I feel like that over the Reddit post, because the thing is, the most unvoted Reddit post in history, sure. But also, how many people buy this game?
Not that
like,
many. It's not doing as well. It's not doing as well as it was supposed to be, and that's the biggest problem
but
right now.
How many did the first game sell? Like 14, like a bunch million? I feel like it was 14-ish million. I've got that number in my head. Sure.
Yeah,
let's
crazy,
just say you have like millions of copies. Let's even say like something a little bit more conservative in the AAA space. 2 or 3 million.
Yeah.
That is conservative. You have like 500,000 people downvoting. That's what, like 15% of
that's a quarter, like that's almost a quarter of your fan base.
But
and
then
like,
you get to the point where it's like we're talking about a Star Wars game, and that immediately drops to like barely anything.
Well, one person actually pointed out something very you know, poignant on this, is why is everyone complaining to EA Games? They're not going to listen. Complain to Disney. They have a long track record of hating bad PR.
Yeah,
and
they're making their brand
anything to avoid bad PR. Anything.
Yeah.
And so they should be, you know, chasing down Disney for it.
Yeah.
Because Disney owns that now.
And I think there was some sort of, there were a lot of rumors going around online about Disney speaking with EA directly about like, maybe.
Yeah, I heard that,
then
there
also,
was a call made.
But then also
they had
separately,
to thaw out Walt and get him into the boardroom.
I thought we forgot about that. but then also EA has actually pulled some of the microtransactions or rebalanced some of Need for Speed Payback as well, because it had a very similar system as well. So maybe this is more than just a Disney thing, that EA is like, okay, we've definitely overstepped the mark.
The conversation needs to happen. It's going to have ongoing ramifications if it doesn't. Because if they do get away with something like this, what's the next one going to be like?
Ray, how do you reckon you'd be okay with them bringing back microtransactions? It's going to happen. That's inevitable.
Yeah, just bring it down. You know, take it down a notch, guys, and sort of just bring it more in line with what we're expected, with what we're expecting from games. You know, I don't mind paying for a cosmetic stuff. I know the guy who works long hours and comes home and he wants to be Darth Vader.
Yeah,
I want him to be Darth Vader. But I don't want him to have the freaking mega rocket launcher that's going to kill me.
Fair.
When I'm still grinding for it.
I think the biggest thing about this, though, is the price of AAA games versus like how much they actually get back. So because it's a AAA game, they can't be like, okay, this is like 120 Australian dollars, so that they can eventually recoup that cost. Nobody is going to pay that. Everybody's going to be like, of course, this is a video game. It's going to be anywhere from, I'm going to go with JB Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
Thank you. But, and it's like $80 or maybe like $60 depending on the game, you know? Like, that's the range. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay $100 to recoup that AAA price. And that's the biggest problem, is that AAA games are becoming more and more expensive because they are adding more and more technology, which is exciting, but they're not getting that money back. And that's why they're adding the
extra opportunities to pay for more stuff. And so DLC, season passes. Yeah,
exactly. An older model that could always be brought back that you don't really see much anymore is that they could release the game as it's currently is $9.95 with all the microtransactions, or you could buy a premium edition for $90 that just has everything unlocked.
Yeah, like like that's the thing, is like they can start doing that. And I think that's a bigger conversation as well, is like, okay, well, we have this AAA game, do we start like separating everything so people who just want everything unlocked pay more? Or like, so I don't know, that's just another option for the future. I think
I suppose a big thing with everything being core gameplay locked behind these loot boxes is that even if you're earning or if you're paying for these, you're not certain that you're actually going to get that thing for that class that you want to expand.
Yeah, like
you
might just be wanting to be
focusing on that one class. You don't know if you're going to get the next step in that segment. And even if you get the currency, you don't know how much currency you're going to be getting for each loot box. You might go six games before you unlock the next loot box, and it might have four things and none of them were what you were after.
You could be Imperial for life and keep unlocking Luke Skywalker.
That was one of the complaints, was like, you can open these loot boxes and like the thing that you are doing, none of it is there as well. So that's,
definitely a big conversation. It's going to keep going. This definitely won't be the end of it. You're listening to Zed Games. We'll be back right after this. Ray?
Yes?
You got some strays in off the streets for this show.
Not really. These are very, very esteemed,
well-respected,
and good-natured game developers. Alex Norton and Nathan Hall of Fluffy Knuckle Duster. Guys, welcome to the studio once again.
Thanks for having us.
We had you guys in, we were just trying to remember when, it was about 2 years ago, I think.
18 months, 2 years, around that time. It's all a blur, really.
Just after you started your company, Fluffy Knuckle Duster, you just put out your first game, Whizzed Off. Really enjoyed that game. It was like a jumping game going around the castle.
It's got some jumps. It's got some game.
We sort of designed it as a reimagining of the classic arcade game Joust, which is my favorite arcade game of all time. I just love it. So I wanted to sort of put my spin on it.
So now that that's like 2 years behind you, how's that been for you?
Well,
was it received well?
We really sort of found a love making that one of colourful kids games, really, and the next three games were in that same vein. The latest one's not, but I mean, you can we've sort of formed a design style, and we made pretty much every mistake game developers could possibly make in the process of making Whizzed Off. So it took about 2 years to make. And then once it was out, the next two games came out within about 5 weeks.
Cool.
And I did take a 1 week break between those.
My God.
So you
not
went
paying
from,
you for that.
You went from a long 2 year development cycle to just pumping games out in a matter of weeks.
Yeah. Our biggest lesson learned was scope. Like, Whizzed Off was a big scope, and as soon as something went wrong, there was a lot to fix. Like,
we were also using Unity for it, which caused no end of trouble for us.
Sure. So Unity is the game engine that a lot of indie developers use because it's of its simple interface.
That's right.
So you're using a different engine now?
Our games,
Weekend of the Himalayas, one of the more recent ones, went back to Unity. It was a very straightforward, simple game concept, so it was a lot easier to pump out with Unity. But all the other ones were done with a system called App Game Kit, which is made by a UK studio.
Cool. Tell us about the games that you've released since WizDoF.
Well, first off, there was God of Thunder first? Or
God of Thunder was first.
Yeah, God of Thunder was first, which is was basically I was playing around with prototypes and a physics system I was working on glitched for finger following something. As you drag your finger around the screen, an object would follow it. And it turned into this crazy rubber band physics that I thought, hey, that's kind of fun. And it turned into a game where you are playing as Thor and you're trying to control his hammer Mjolnir as it's flying around the screen, and ice giants are attacking him, and he's got to try and hit them with his hammer, but you can't really control the hammer, so the game is just frustrating as hell. That came out, and then that was about 10-day development.
Yeah, and then spat that out real fast, and then
Extreme Lawn Mowing came next, which is actually our most downloaded game to date. And I think it's something like 300,000 impressions just on iOS compared to the 50,000 that WizDoF had. And that's about a guy who mowed lawns for a living and figured out that it was taking too long. So he hot-rodded a ride-on lawnmower dressed as the Stig, and he just drives around paddocks at like 120 k's an hour trying to mow.
The natural response.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
And
that's where Jim's mowing's going now.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that.
So what's the gameplay like in extreme lawn mowing?
There's actually no buttons whatsoever. You just hold the phone like a spirit level and tilt it. And as you tilt it, the lawnmower drives in the direction of the tilt. So it gets very, very frustrating, especially when you've got to try and do a handbrake turn using that method going 100 k's an hour.
I can only imagine that this would get better on public transport.
Oh, yeah. It's very difficult to play.
Oh, God.
But the entire soundtrack is done like a monster truck rally, right down to the announcer, the excessive announcer throughout
the entire
thing.
Much better.
Yeah. And there's pickups you can get, like the grass grenade, which blows up a whole area of just grass and doesn't touch the dirt. The brush cutter, I think it's called, that swings out these circular saw blades on the side of your lawnmower, so you get a wider sweep with the lawnmower. Kids have been really enjoying it. It's very bright and colorful and cartoony and really aimed at younger kids. That such a simple interface with no buttons, it's sort of, they take to it pretty well.
And your latest two games, you put out two games simultaneously.
Yeah.
The first one is Drunken Heroes.
Bit of a controversial one.
Yes.
And took 5 weeks of negotiation with Apple to get released. Most people hear drinking game and they sort of assume the worst with it, but it was designed for me, really. It was a selfish creation because I don't drink, but all of my mates do. And every time we'd go out, I'd be sitting there at the table playing with my phone, and I thought, oh, hey, I could gamify this and turn into something. So.
And drink less lime and bitters.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, different people drink different amounts even when they do drink.
Yeah.
And so I thought, why can't everybody be doing a universal thing together, whether they drink or drink a lot or drink a little? And so I made a little quick prototype, and we had so much fun playing it, and the antics and shenanigans had us in stitches. So I polished it up and released it, and I had no idea that it would actually be so difficult to release.
So how does Drunken Heroes play as a game?
Well, you add in players and you specify how much or little they like to drink by giving them a star rating, and it basically turns the night out into an RPG experience by giving quests and fights, and the quests are antics and shenanigans at the table or sometimes around the bar if it's a bit more, you're talking with somebody that drinks a lot. And the fights are actually drinking games against monsters in the computer. And if you lose the games, then you can lose health and you can eventually die just like in a normal RPG. So if you're someone like me who doesn't drink at all, you can act as the dungeon master essentially for an evening filled with shenanigans such as, everybody has to get to the bar, get a drink and get back to the table, but the floor is lava.
Right. Okay. Now, you mentioned before that there was some trouble getting it certified through Apple Store.
That's right.
Not really surprising considering the content. tell me more about what happened.
Well, they are notoriously difficult to communicate with. They're very vague with their responses, and most of the length of time of the debate was just trying to get them to actually speak. And in the end, I just gave up and started calling them international calls to California, which was fun. Eventually, we worked out that there were certain aspects of the game that they perceived as encouraging the excessive consumption of alcohol.
Right.
Now, where the line was, because it is a drinking game, it could be argued that every aspect of it encourages drinking a consumption of alcohol. But
right.
I had to try and find with them where the line is of what's considered excessive. being not a drinker myself, I hadn't really considered that any of it was, because it was more about having fun. It's not really about drinking, despite being a drinking game. It's a game that you could play with just Coca-Cola if you wanted to, but it's designed for being played in a bar.
Right.
And I hadn't really designed it to be something that encourages excessive consumption of alcohol, but they had different ideas because Apple is a very, they try and do the family-friendly thing. They try and have a very specific brand image that they put forward.
What were the main changes that you had to make to sort of appease that image issue?
One of the fights was a, it was sort of like a really tame chugging competition where you had to out-chug a monster that was very slow at chugging. And a couple of the quests involved antics which could be construed as excessive consumption of alcohol. And once we removed those, and after a lot of negotiation for several other of the antics, they finally agreed.
I think outside of that, there is a random shot generator that will tell you to go order a shot that of random concoctions. But outside of that, it's never really stated that it is a drinking game. It's never really encouraging alcohol or anything like that. That's more just an implication that you...
And I had to explain to them.
If you feel so.
Yeah, I had to explain to them that things like the random shot generator don't show up to somebody that's only a one or two star drinker. Because it's just because they wouldn't order shots if they were going out. But another thing that they particularly didn't like is the game would actually ask you whether or not a player is male or female and whether they're single or taken. And that way, I was doing it specifically so that any of the shenanigans that they get asked to do would not be inappropriate for their gender or sexual orientation.
Right.
And so I had that in there to be nice. They thought that that was collecting information unnecessarily about the users.
Right.
So I had to remove that entire segment of the game of anything that was specific to somebody's gender or relationship status, which, you know, I was happy to do. It wasn't a huge part of the game, but just trying to get them to say that that's what they wanted was a task.
And I understand that you had a personal visit from someone who worked at Apple as well.
Nathan and I just went to our first ever PAX, and it was...
I'm so sorry.
it was a wild ride, but it was day one, wasn't it? Day one, I think it was.
Yeah, it was late in day one, yeah.
Somebody from the Apple app approval team actually turned up at our booth and said, yeah, we know about Drunken Heroes, because we didn't know who she was, so I started giving her the spiel, and she's like, I know about the game.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be really upfront with you. It's never going to get featured on our front page. It's just not the sort of app we want to be advertising as an Apple thing. Weekend at the Himalayas, your other game? Yeah, definitely. That's great. We really like that. But... And she started talking to us, you know, what other things have you got planned? And you could tell by the tone of her voice, she was like, you had done family games up until this
please
point.
Be kids games.
Please go
kids
back
games.
To family games.
would that kind of tone still be there even if you'd done something as simple as change the name from Drunken Heroes, do you think?
Given the content, probably it would still be there because the Apple review team, they don't skimp on their job. They're very thorough people. They delve into every aspect of an app that you give them. They'll even go through the metadata of your code to see if there's anything hidden away that might not pop up readily during a gameplay. They're very good at their job.
I think the biggest hurdle is usually their communication of what exactly is wrong. Often you want to know exactly what change you need to make, but because there's such a big game, they found something wrong with it. They don't want to go over every single detail of it, but sometimes you just need the specifics of it, and it's a lot of chasing them to try and get that information.
And in the end, they approved the app 2 days before I left for PAX.
Right.
That was a huge... Because we'd already booked the booth months in advance, printed up the banners, flyers...
For that game specifically.
For that game specifically. They approved it and put it onto the store 2 days before I left.
We were almost in the process of ordering a big stamp that said banned by Apple, and every time we landed at a brochure, we just bam it down on there.
It's actually in my lounge room still, it just we never took it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I must also make it clear that neither Z Games or Triple Z condones the excessive consumption of alcohol as well.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear on that. Now,
Fluffy Knuckle Duster too. There's actually a big warning when you first open the app saying, you know, drink responsibly. This is about having fun, not about getting drunk.
Yeah. Mm.
But tell us about Weekend at the Himalayas, though.
Weekend Himalayas is a kid-friendly game. It's about a famous mountaineer who, on his last pilgrimage, died along the way. But his kids thought that shouldn't be the end of his story, and so they strap some pickaxes to his arms and his legs and start flinging his corpse up a mountain. And that's the game.
Cool. So it's a Weekend in Bernese type kind
that's
of thing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we love to make Weekend at Bernie's jokes here.
Oh, good. You'll love the game. Yeah. It's all about the visual humor. It's a rag doll with pickaxes, and you just fling it up a mountain and see what sticks. It's just hilarious to watch.
Cool. Yeah. So that's available now.
That is available now. And Android free. And iOS. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Guys, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you very much for dropping in. Nathan and Alex from Fluffy Knuckle Duster. And your games are available on iOS and Android at the moment.
All five of them, yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Zed Games. What's...
Ray. And you've been playing Golf Story.
Yes, Golf Story. It's an exclusive game for the Nintendo Switch.
Ooh.
Made right here in Queensland.
Which is weird.
By Sidebar Games.
I mean, that's not as weird, I guess.
Yeah, it's not that
it's good.
Weird.
It's
it is
nice.
Weird, though, because we haven't been able to track them down. Because we really want to speak to these guys. I think they're related or they're brothers or something.
That's cute.
They made this Golf Story game, which is incredible. And, you know, everyone's talking about it.
How is it incredible, Ray?
Well, I don't know. Like, for some reason, I really enjoy golf games. And I can't really explain why.
Wait a minute. Is it a mini golf game or like a golf game?
It's a golf, like
it's a
proper
golf game. So, you know, you got your drivers, you got your five irons.
You have to worry
wedges,
about the wind and everything.
The wind, there's, you know, placement of your shot. And like where you're going to hit the ball, like where you're going to strike the ball, whatever that's called.
Yep. Because we know golf terms. Yep.
Yeah, I don't really know the golf terms, but it's got all that technical stuff in there. So it is a fully fledged golf simulator, although it is in like a 2D sort of 16-bit RPG art style. So if you think of games like Stardew Valley, like Pokemon, it's got that old school RPG.
Yeah, kind of like harkening aesthetic. Back to like GBA stuff, Super Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a little bit weird having all of these golf mechanics in a game that looks very simple. Mm. Because you got to deal with slope. Like
slope as well.
Yeah, and how do you represent that?
How are
there
three dimensions
space?
In a 2D game?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what they do is they just tell you what the slope is, like which direction it's pointing, and you kind of have to, you know, sort of just deal with it even though you can't see it.
But like I feel like a lot of like 3D golf games do that as well. Like there's a lot of like HUD, like head-ups display sort of stuff where it tells you like I watch Let's Plays. I don't actually play those games, just to let you know. But anyway, like I feel like from those games you see a lot of the like the wind direction, the wind speed, like it tells you all of that in the HUD. Like so like that doesn't seem too surprising for me, especially if they do want to keep it cute. Like not having it actually on the map seems like an ideal situation.
Yes. What Golf Story does differently to games like, you know, Tiger Woods Golf or Everybody's Golf, Mario Golf.
Please tell me there's a dating simulation in there.
There's no dating simulation in there, Dee.
All right, I'm not interested. Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
I lost B, unfortunately. But for everyone else whose love life resides offline...
Wow, that is a low blow, mate.
It does have a lot going for it. It does have a RPG-like story. So you're a down-on-your-luck golfer. Your dad's been coaching you since you're a little boy, but
you're
not there yet.
You're just bad.
You're pretty bad.
Yeah.
You're new in town, and you go to the local golf club, and you're looking for a coach, but the coach thinks you're rubbish, or he's too busy with his other students to take you on. So you've got to kind of prove yourself worthy of you know, his tuition kind of thing. And from there, you got this whole story that just branches out. There's all sorts of shenanigans. There's crazy characters that are introduced, like the groundsman, who is like jealous of the neighboring golf club's landscaping and asks you to go and kind of do some reconnaissance detective work to find out how they make their golf course look so nice.
And by doing that, you're just playing a game of golf, and then like just like in the like sidebar, like just talking, you get that information. Like you're not actually going and like walking around.
Yes,
are you?
You are.
Oh,
yeah, you're free to explore the golf grounds, and then there's like an overworld map system where you can go between the different golf courses.
You can explore like an RPG. Like you have the ability to just walk around in the world, but then instead of like fighting like RPG battle mechanics, it's just golf.
Yeah, so you go in golf tournaments. Or there's golf mini games, for example.
So there is mini golf.
There is mini golf, but the most of it is like, you know,
regular golf.
Regular sized golf.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, you use your golf skills to like overcome any situation, and you can sort of drop a ball and just hit the ball whenever you want. So there's a scenario where like there's a golf course that's troubled by birds.
Yep.
And Turns out that someone's been stealing their eggs. So you have to, like, hit their eggs with your golf club. Luckily, they're strong eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Back to, you know, the birds so they can retrieve them.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say...
That's kind of cute, weird.
The alternative was, like, you've got to hit the balls to, like, get rid of the birds. And I'm like, that seems...
this is a friendly family game. Okay. You know, nothing like that. Other scenarios will have you, like, hitting switches that are only accessible by... golf balls.
Not Nintendo switches, like electronic switches.
Yeah, like, you know, light switches or something, like door switches.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you solve most of your problems with the golf skills you have, and they level up as well. So, you know, the more quests you do, the better you get at golfing. And every now and again, you'll take part in a tournament. And those are the funnest parts of the game for me, is like, you know, doing the whole nine holes.
Is it challenging? Is it, like, where does it kind of line up to... Because everything else about this game is an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any sort of the same, like the equivalent of like grinding, or is it just like you need to be good at golf games to actually appreciate what Golf Story is?
There's nothing like grinding. You kind of just level up as you go along, and your power gets better, so you can drive farther. And
so there are levels that you progress through.
There are levels that you progress through, but the golfing mechanics are kind of like drip fed to you.
Okay.
So at the start, it just doesn't tell you anything. You kind of have to guess how it works. Like, there's a bar that swings back and forth.
Right.
And you have to sort of time it to hit the different marks to get, you know, length and accuracy, power and accuracy, whatever.
Right.
And that's fine. But then as the game goes on, it starts giving you more and more advanced lessons. Like, you know, dealing with wind, like where you're going to hit the ball to get a curve. Like dealing with slopes,
but it feels natural though. Like it's not like, oh god, they brought this out. Yeah,
it actually like introduces things a bit slower than I think was necessary. So it's very very easy on the golf game beginner.
Okay,
but if you are like into golf games like I am, and I can't tell you why I don't watch golf like on TV, I can't stand it. I just really enjoy golf games. Then you'll get a lot out of this because. It just ties the golf action in with this kind of overarching story so well. And it's really charming.
The question that I got, and I'm hoping you can kind of help me out here. It's only on Nintendo Switch, so it's exclusive to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Are there motion controls?
No.
None?
There are no motion controls in the game.
Oh.
Yeah, which is fortunate. However, it does make use of the HD rumble feature.
Right.
So there's a lot of shaking and they've actually like utilized it really extensively.
Oh, okay.
So like whenever someone's talking, it'll rumble in, you know, with their speech and things like that. When
that's
you hit the
awesome.
Ball. Every time you like sort of push the button to, you know, acknowledge that you've read something, it'll give you a rumble. That actually got a little bit annoying for me after a while.
There's no way to toggle?
There is a toggle, so I toggled it off.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that was just a little bit too annoying for me.
And it plays the same whether you're playing in like portable mode or TV mode. Did you play across both?
Yeah, I played across both. It plays better in portable mode because the graphics are kind of lo-fi.
Yeah.
You know, it's 16-bit. Up on the big screen, it looks very blown up and pixelated.
Yeah.
It looks perfect playing in handheld mode.
Beautiful. So Golf Story out now, Nintendo Switch... Price point?
It's like $25, something like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I really recommend it. It's a bunch of fun.
Oh, no, wait, I forgot. Can you customize your outfits?
Are there any aspects of this game that is even remotely close to a visual novel or dating sim?
I would like to customize outfits. Like, if I'm going to be... like, I know you're playing as a male character. Like, it doesn't sound like there's really any gendered kind of switching, which kind of sucks. But, like,
switching.
Can you, I just ignored Jack completely. Like, is there any sort of like shopping or anything like that?
You can upgrade your golf gear.
That's not what I asked.
So you get better clubs. Look, if you're after like, you know, a little virtual boyfriend or girlfriend, Golf Story is not the game for you.
I didn't ask that either. I just wanted to know if you can change the
color
of your pants.
That's what you were thinking.
Can you dress up?
You can't dress up. Oh. You can just upgrade your golf gear.
All right. Yeah. Sounds okay.
Yeah. Look, it's great. My favorite parts of the game were running into the crazy characters. Like, there's mole men that are, like, you know, stealing the balls
and
stuff.
That's cute.
And there's also, like, these really elitist disc golfers. So they're like, they play golf with frisbees, but they're really snooty.
Isn't that extreme frisbee?
That's not golf.
That's extreme frisbee. No, there is like a golf frisbee
golf
thing.
Golf frisbee?
Yeah. It's an American thing, I'm sure. I don't know. It seems
bizarre.
Dumb.
Yeah, but they're just so like intensely stuck up and obnoxious, and like they're just so dismissive of like lame normal golfers. It's hilarious.
Oh man, so definitely check out Golf Game, Golf Story, even if you are or are not typically into golf games.
Yeah,
or just golf in general.
I think if you're into golf games, you'll get a bit more out of it, but it's a game for everyone. Made right here in Queensland. Been loving it so far.
Smash it. One day we'll get in touch with those devs. Thank you so much for that review. That actually brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back same time next week with even more good stuff. For now, though, we'll leave you with this one. This is Sanctuary from Yutada Hikari from the Kingdom Hearts 2 soundtrack. See you next week.
Bye.